The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into After Hours, Jay Binkley, with my dude, Quentin Morris. Usually hear us on Sunday mornings. Tonight, you'll hear us tomorrow night, too. And Friday, we do the fans football show as well. But the Kansas City Royals get the job done tonight, 1-0. Those O's ain't Royals, right? I remember Jerry McGuthrie wearing that shirt in 2014. I snapped a picture of it as I sat there and listened to the post-game press conferences there at the K on that night. But Bobby Witt Jr. knocks in the only run for the Royals. That's the future, ladies and gentlemen. That is the future for the Kansas City Royals is Bobby Witt Jr. The Royals play on house money. The Orioles are starting to succumb to pressure. That's what they're doing. They're now 0-5 against the Kansas City Royals in the postseason. If you're Baltimore, you got to hate Kansas City, don't you?
I was going to jump in and say.
Quentin, 0-5 against the Royals in the postseason. The Chiefs, they lose by a toe at Arrowhead Stadium on the first game of the year in the National Football League, and they got a pretty good team. They just beat the hell out of the Bills the other night. But they lost the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson's now 1-4 against Patrick Mahomes. They lost to us in the AFC title game. They thought they were going to the Super Bowl. Hell, they damn near printed those T-shirts when they finally beat Mahomes that one time. But they're 0-5 against the Kansas City Royals. This team, Baltimore, had 101 wins 2 years ago, 91 wins last year. They were the number one seed 2 years ago, to be honest with you. They were in the playoffs with 101 wins last year and were swept by the Texas Rangers, who went on to win the World Series. But now, down 1-0 for the Royals, and things start to tighten up. But how about Cole Reagans, man? That guy was freaking dealing today. That's your ace, Quinn. That is your ace.
If anybody was questioning whether or not Cole Reagans was the ace of this, this team moving forward, that should have answered everything. I know that on this station, and I know I've had it with people that, if you were to start a post-game show, which pitcher do you want to see? Do you want to see Lugo go out there because he has the stuff? Do you want to see a guy like Waka go out there because he has playoff experience? Or do you want to go with the Reagans because, he has some of the best strikeout stuff? Q continues to make the right decisions, and man, that is a pitcher's duel of pitcher duels. I'm confident that if it weren't for the calf cramp Reagans had, he could have gone into the eighth inning. But man, what a game, what a victory.
It's good they preserved him for the next time, just make sure there's not long-term, because they're going to need this dude.
They're
going to need this dude.
I want to give Vern a lot of credit here, because everything that he said, the Royals are good at this, and this is what they're going to need to do. You saw it today. The Royals are good at team speed. Michael Garcia had 2 stolen bases. The Royals have great starting pitching. Reagans does what he's been doing really for the last, calendar year at this point. And the Royals have great defense. We saw that sliding catch by Pham. We saw Bobby Witt Jr. make another outstanding catch. Everything that Vern says, what are the things that, wins playoff games in October. What are the things that the Royals do? That's what the Royals were able to do today, and it's why they came out with a win.
Yeah, I can't believe it. How about if the Royals advance to play the Yankees, which I'm desperately hoping for? I hope they go ahead and sweep this tomorrow, because New York and Kansas City, that was a rivalry in Major League Baseball for a while. 76, 77, 78. We lost to the Yankees in the ALCS. The Royals beat them in 1980 to advance to the 1980 World Series, which I was a part of that 1980 World Series. I went to it as a small child, but I was there. 1980, I was there in New York when they won in 2015 against the Mets. So I've followed this team for a long time, and it's fun to see. And like I say, you go through the pain to just enjoy the success, and that's what you do. And what this team is out there doing, compare this team to 2014. I told you, what was it? Sunday morning we made the comparisons, didn't we? Nobody had 100 ribs that season. They would have 3 this year, because Vinny, if not hurt, he ended up with 97. He would end up with 100. It was unreal. This team went toe-to-toe. Bobby Wood Jr., Gunnar Henderson, everybody's talking about it, or Adley Rutschman that went the pick right before Bobby Wood Jr. But that was the whole comparison before the All-Star game, was Gunnar v. Bobby. And Bobby just cruises right past that as he takes the Royals to the postseason. Not only that, if Bobby played in that baseball stadium all year, Gunnar ended up with 37 home runs. Bobby's easily got that at 31. But folks, brace yourself. And I don't want to get too far ahead of myself if they sweep the Orioles. But let me put it this way. Each postseason series, there's been 8 of these so far since they've expanded the playoffs and do the, instead of one wild card game, you do the wild card 3-game series. The team that won the first game is 8-0. I'm knocking on wood. Only one of those series have gone to 3 games. One of them. But the team that won game one has won them all. I do not want to get too far ahead of myself, but I'll say this. Brace yourself, Kansas City. Because Monday night could be epic. The Royals, Yankees, go at about 6:38, 6:40 local time. The Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football the same night. You want to talk about having two TVs set up and ready to go, or being at your favorite bar and watering hole, or sitting at Arrowhead Stadium with the phone with the game on?
Just every once in a while, just glancing at the K, you know, or vice versa. You know, if you're sitting, you got to get a seat where you can see the either Crown Vision or the board at Arrowhead.
The game would be in New York. They'd play Saturday and they'd play Monday. But again, that's cart before the horse. You know, you got one more game here against the Orioles. That momentum's with the Royals. Baltimore, they got to be feeling tight. I mean, these windows open and shut so close to professional sports. They do. Think the Rangers made a postseason run this year after winning the World Series last year? No, they didn't.
They stunk.
The Diamondbacks didn't even make it to the postseason. They almost did, but the Braves and Mets took care of that. That was your World Series last year. But your windows open and shut close. And like I said, Baltimore had 101 wins last year. And not only that, oh, Ryan O'Hearn goes to the Orioles and look at him play. Again, Bobby Witt Jr. has more playoff wins than Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani combined. Now Ohtani gets to go with the Dodgers here in the postseason as the number one seed in the National League. But Bobby Witt Jr. does have more postseason wins than Mike Trout, and that will not change the season.
You know, one of the stats that was brought up that I think explains exactly how this team is built is that, you know, the Royals are, let me pull it up right here. I want to make sure that I get this right. They are 71-12 when they allow 3 runs or less. 71-12 throughout the entire year. Obviously, that includes today. And that just tells you exactly how this team, that is built for playoff baseball.
It's their first shutout ever in the postseason. It's incredible. It's just incredible, Quinn, what this team is doing.
Because runs are a premium in playoff baseball because you're facing the best pitching, right? And the best pitching beats the best batting. I mean, we talk about it all the time, right? If you get one out of every third hit, you're a all-star. You're not only an all-star candidate, but you're a Hall of Fame candidate, right? Like, so when you're facing the best pitching, runs come at a premium like we saw today. Yep. So the fact that the Royals not only so far in the playoffs in the one game, but even all year, they've been able to capitalize on keeping teams low scoring. When teams are low scoring, they've been able to win. 71-12, that's an insane record.
It is. That's a great stat. I mean, the Royals, you know, Mikel Garcia gets 2 stolen bases. Bobby Wood Jr. got that RBI, and he stole second. I know they counted that. They didn't reverse that call. He was safe, man. That last replay they showed, he was clearly safe, and even the booth, they said he was safe.
Yeah, I think it was one of those, because his, I don't know if it was the shortstop or the second baseman covering, but I think because his leg was sort of over the camera, it was one of those things where you couldn't exactly tell.
Yeah.
But he definitely made it a close shot.
You know, and people will chime in about the officiating or the umpiring crew tonight, like they do it against the Chiefs whenever they win, and people like to point to the officials. And people are saying, oh, man, that ninth inning, Ursig, he got a strikeout. He was like, he should have had a O'Hearn. That was actually a strike. They called a ball and gave him a walk. So don't give me that, Baltimore fans. Don't give me that, because he should have been out with that strikeout there. But Royals now 31-15 since 1985. That is the best record in the postseason since 1985. Royals 31-15. That's over a .669 winning percentage. The Marlins 24-16 since 85. That's .600 winning percentage. And number three is the Phillies 52-36 for a .591 winning percentage. That from the Kansas City Royals, Nick Campbell, who's in their PR department, put that number out. But the Royals are loose and fancy free. They've got a guy like Salvador Perez that has been the World Series MVP. Vinny comes back at the right time. That's truly one of their leaders. But I know Bobby Witt Jr. is, but so is Vinny. Vinny talked about this team from the beginning. Hey, watch out for us. We're for real. They took winning to heart. They took losing to heart. And other teams haven't done that in the past. And even, you know, with this crew the last couple of years, it may have not been that bad. But give them a taste of winning. Give this team a team belief in themselves from spring training on of how good they are. Give credit to Vern. Vern never wavered on this team at all. Hey, man, this team's earmarked for the postseason. Never wavered at all. I told you guys midsummer, I was like, who's going to catch them, man? The Royals will be making the postseason. Now, I know they didn't finish exactly strong, but I said, who's going to pass them? The Minnesota Twins are coming back, man. That team did. It's at the beginning of the year, they would have these 12-game winning streaks and lose seven. Seattle. I was like, don't worry about Seattle. Seattle actually made a nice little run. They picked up Rosarena and Justin Turner at the trade deadline, but weren't able to push it through. But I'm really, really hoping for Aaron Judge versus Bobby Witt Jr. I know I'm getting way too far ahead of myself, but this will be the fifth time the Royals have faced the Yankees in the postseason. Want a little piece of that. Want a little piece of the Yankees.
Yeah, and let's not forget, you know, let's go to the other game in the American League that happened today. Detroit beat the Astros.
That's right, the number six seed in both the AL and the NL win today.
So, you know, we brought up the stat that the teams that win the first game in the wild card move on. That's a big move because, you know, the Astros, I've been saying that they're the Kansas City Chiefs of baseball, right? It's, you know, even when they don't look the best, they still end up winning and making the playoffs. Now, the Astros are cheaters, so there is a big difference there. But Astros are not a team that I want to see in the playoffs. And so for Detroit to win the first game today, even though Detroit came pretty close to losing it, to blowing it late, you know, that's a big step for the Royals, you know, if you want to even look that far ahead.
Detroit was 2-4 against Houston in the regular season. If they do advance to play Cleveland, they were 6-7 versus them. And Detroit's the hottest team in baseball as of late. They bring it, man. They're the sixth seed. But again, when you get to the postseason, it doesn't matter where you're seated. As long as you're in the dance. The Padres beating the Braves right now, bottom of the second, 3-0. As Quentin mentioned earlier, the Tigers beat the Astros 3-1. Tariq Skubal was incredible today.
Look, I know that dealing, he's...
But it was the sixth seed losing there, and then I mentioned the sixth seed. Well, it was the Mets beating the Brewers in the National League, 6-3.
I know Skubal is a Detroit Tiger, and he's a divisional guy, and so I'm not supposed to like him. But, man, I love the fire that he has on the mound. Like, the way that... And it seems like after every big strikeout when he comes off the mound, it's hard for me to not cheer for that guy because he's just one hell of a pitcher, and he's got some great stuff. And he's going to be the next Justin Verlander, right? The next guy that pitches for the Tigers for years and years and years, and we're going to have to deal with him.
Oh, no question about it. But that fifth inning, when Reagans gets back-to-back strikeouts, I mean, with two guys on, it was incredible.
Slider in the dirt. And that is a huge strikeout for Reagans. And now, adding to what Denny just said, Reagans' two biggest outs in the first five innings have been strikeouts against McCann.
There's McCann. Here's Gunnar Henderson for the final out. Two men on. What's Gunnar going to do?
Here's the 2-2. Swing and a miss. And he got him with a breaking ball down and away. And in five innings, Cole Reagans has not allowed a run, and he has pitched around a leadoff double. And in this inning, first and third and one out, and he picks up Melendez.
And Cole Reagans was flat dealing. Text line was asking me if I'm taking calls. I am. 913-586-7965. 913-586-7965. The Chase Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Speaking of Chase Southland Tow Service, I used them today for a little battery jump. Yeah. So Chase Southland Tow Service is all over it. And I haven't used them before. I haven't needed to use them before, but name came to me right there. I've only been saying it for so long since they've been doing the text line, but I was like, hey, I know a tow service. I called Jay Southland Tow Service. Anyway, more of this with the Kansas City Royals. We'll take your phone calls as well. We'll get to some Chiefs talk later on, what they can do at wide receiver. But the Kansas City Royals, man, how are you feeling? Because I listened to the Vern show. You guys pumped me up, man. People were so – and Vern was cracking me up too, to be honest with you. But you guys have been so pumped up. Let's hear it, man. How excited are you for possibility of Monday night having the Royals and Chiefs on together? Wow. And the Royals win tonight. 1-0 over the Baltimore Orioles. They're now 5-0 in postseason history against the Orioles. Remember the whole Dunce versus the Chessmaster? Ned Yost versus Showalter back in 2014? Wasn't that good? Hey, I even heard Vern do a little Ric Flair shout-out tonight. Did you hear that? Jim go, woo! Did you hear that?
Yes, because I saw it on my audio levels back here.
Oh, man, he did.
I spent more money on spilt liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing, woo, wheeling-dealing, limousine-riding, jet-flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
That's where it seems Kansas City is. That's where it seems Kansas City is. The text line asked me a question. It's a good question, by the way, with this new format. Why wouldn't the lowest seed go play the Yankees if it happens? Like, why wouldn't Detroit, being a sixth seed, if they beat Houston, go on to play the New York Yankees, who are the one seed in the American League? That's a good question. Here's why they don't do it. They don't do it because they're playing a division winner. And had the Astros beat the Yankees, they didn't set it up because they don't want a division winner, which the Astros are, having to go on the road in the second round or the divisional series of the playoffs for the Yankees. So that's why they set it up this way, that the winner of this series will play the New York Yankees in New York with home field advantage. But that's why they do it, because they don't want to have to face another division winner in another round. They're doing that to give people kind of a break for winning their division, but that's why they do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it should be that way, even though on paper it looks weird. If you win your division, you should be, you know, you should be given home field advantage because, you know, you went through the gauntlet and you won. And I don't want to use the word punished because you made the playoffs, but, you know, if you wanted to be able to host those games, you should have won your division.
Yeah, and they won their division, so we'll see. But that's why they're not going to New York in the next round, even though Cleveland will have the home field advantage over Houston and Detroit. Let's go to Showtime in KC. What's up, Showtime?
Oh, hey there, Pink.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. And Big Bob and the boys in Baltimore are getting it done. And how about that? How about the pitching? Ice cold Reagan. And the bullpen, Pink. Chris Bubich is out there getting it done, and so is Sam Long. But a star was born today. A star was made today. And I'm talking about lights out, Lucas Erceg. I knew Lucas Erceg was a star, but everybody else better recognize. I'm talking about all the other teams in MLB. Because lights out, Lucas Erceg, when he comes in the ninth inning, the lights are going out because it's game over. And he came in the eighth inning and got it done. And a lockdown the ninth inning, getting that save. Congratulations to our Kansas City Royals getting that big win. We got two to go, and we got to get one win. And we're going to bring it home to Kansas City and bring on the damn Yankees because we're getting it done. Let's go, Royals. Showtime Kansas City. I'm out.
There you go, Showtime KC. Very excited there for the Kansas City Royals. Man, people got that enthusiasm again. People get that enthusiasm again. They're believing in this team. Why wouldn't you believe in this team? This team has given you nothing not to believe in. It took a while. And I understand the, you know, the problems with TV and being able to get the Royals on and stuff like that. I get that. But this is a fun team. You have arguably one of the top three players in Major League Baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., on your team. And he's got a long-term contract. Hell, you've got Lucas Erceg, 2029. They got this team control all the way up till there. And Lucas Erceg is great when they put him in at the right time. Hey, get four outs, man. That's what we need you for. Get four outs. And Lucas Erceg was fantastic. There's a lot of stars. Markel Garcia had two stolen bases tonight. Bobby Witt Jr. gets the only rib for the Kansas City Royals. Stars all over the place.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this front office and Sherman deserve a lot of credit for what they did in the offseason. you know, bringing in the guys, bringing in a Seth Lugo, who let's not forget, you know, this wasn't a guy that was a starting pitcher, right? Like this
except
was
for last year,
right? Yep. He was for most of his career, he was a reliever, a long reliever, but he was not a guy that was a known long-term starter, right? And they brought him in, they made him a starter, and he's the second best pitcher on this roster. And so, like, going out and making the moves to trade for a Reagans last year to go in and get a Lucic Urseg. But it even goes further than that, because when Vinny got hurt, it would have been very easy for the Royals to throw their hands in the air and just say, man, so close yet so far. They could have brought up Nick Prado from AAA, and they could have said, look, this is our replacement for him. We're going to see what we can do. And honestly, not a lot of people could complain about that, because that's usually what you do. You go out, it was past the trade deadline. So you bring up somebody from AAA and see what can happen. But they didn't sit on their hands. They went around and they got somebody from, you know, they got a couple of guys to try and replace him, going out and getting a guy like a Tommy Pham from the Braves system. I didn't know that you could trade for minor league players, you know, up until the end of the month. So, you know, being able to do those things and to not give up on your season when, let's be honest, when Vinny Pasquantino went down, it was bleak for this Royals team. I mean, it broke them. It broke their offense. You know, they fell into this funk, and to be able to steady the ship, be able to go and get guys, I mean, it just shows the intelligence of this front office, but it shows how good of a manager Q is to be able to keep the ship going. I mean, this is a good baseball team, and it's a baseball team that can sustain success over the long term.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, man, I mean, this team and what they're doing, the excitement. And I'm telling you, man, if this works out and you're playing the Yankees again, I mean, that's a long-time rival, man. An old Pine
Tar game.
Yankees
are everybody's rival.
The Pine Tar game with the – but, yeah, it is, man. This will be the fifth postseason series. And remember, it was just two. And you got there. They lost to them three times in the ALCS in 76, 77, 78. They punched through in 1980. The big spinning New York Yankees, and here's the Royals. Man, I know it's cart before the horse. I shouldn't worry about the Yankees for a while, but damn, I'm excited about it. Damn, I'm excited about what could happen Monday night when the Chiefs and Royals play at the same time.
Yeah.
Unreal. 913-586-7965 is our phone number. Let's go to Colin in KC. What's up, Colin?
Hey, Bing, thanks for taking my call, man. I knew today was going to be a good day the second I saw that that Pasquatch graphic that the Royals put out.
The Pasquatch, so yeah. High. How about the Pasquatch?
So good. Shout out to the Royals graphics team and their content team. They've just been killing it all year. But, man, that was just so
you
sweet.
Might get to see them. You might get to see them next week if the Royals beat the Orioles either tomorrow or Thursday. You might get to see that Pasquatch again.
Dude, I hope so. That would just send me over the moon, man. I love this team just because they just fight. That's just all they do is they fight through the ups and the downs. And I know Vern's been pounding the table on just, you know, being patient with them, sticking with them, not giving up. And that's what this team does. They don't give up. And I don't know. It's just so much fun. It feels different. Feels different when it's the Royals in the postseason. I got a very important question for you.
Yeah.
So today I wore my white Bo Jackson jersey today, and
nice.
I'm wondering, should I wear it again tomorrow?
Of course.
Or should I wear my Salvi City Connect tomorrow?
No, just stay with what you did today.
Okay.
I mean, that's
okay.
Why baseball
right.
goes.
Hey,
I mean, it's why guys
it.
Wear the same socks, same underwear, you name it. You stay in what you had on. I mean, I'm probably going to do it. I mean, I'm superstitious. I remember sitting there with Henry Lake when they were coming back against the Astros, and Henry was in the production room there, and he had to go to the bathroom, but he wasn't about to do it while the Royals were coming back. Superstition, man. It was just superstition. I mean, baseball's all about that, man. You just gotta keep wearing the same stuff. So tomorrow night, Quentin will probably be in the same gear, man. Got to keep it consistent, man.
It is so – I mean, and that's – it's just a baseball thing, you know? Like – it's not really the same thing in other sports. And maybe it's because you play 162 games and routine is such an important part of baseball, right? Like whether it's players or, you know, teams as a whole, it is so important for them to stay in their routine. But yeah, it's, you know, you might see this polo again tomorrow.
You might see it again tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, I've done it. I did it in football one time. We lost a rival. I was like, I'm gonna wear these shorts every day until we beat them again. I did it. We beat them. But, man, were they walking themselves. They were walking themselves. We'll take a timeout. More on the Kansas City Royals. Don't forget our phone number, 913-586-7965. Also, same as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Might happen to mention a receiver, too, just tonight, because I can't forget about the receiver Ice getting hurt. We'll talk about that next. And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Quentin Morris. Perfect timing on the Cole Reagans, huh? Perfect timing. 96.5 The Fan, you're listening to that. Oh, man. We have some fun. By the way, I don't know if I explained that playoff thing better, but what I'm saying is if the wild card, the reason they don't go to the Yankees, because they don't want a division winner playing the one seed. That's the difference of winning the one seed. They don't want that. Clearly, if Houston ends up beating Detroit, they're down 1-0 at this point. But if they win that, they'll be in Cleveland on the road in their first game. But they didn't want somebody going to the one seed. That's exactly how that happened. I know it's confusing. It's kind of silly because normally you'd think the worst seed goes to the one seed. That's the way it usually is done. But they don't want the one seed playing the division winner.
Once again, I mean, it makes sense, right? You don't want someone who, in theory, you know, has had a better season, quote-unquote, because they won their division, than to also, quote-unquote, punish them by having them face the one seed.
Yeah. From the 913, last time the Royals made the playoffs, I watched them win the World Series while living in Utah. The next spring, I reconnected with my now wife, moved back to KC, and even have a six-year-old son. I'm excited for him to see the Royals in the playoffs. It would be cool if he's nine, right? He partied a lot in 2015 when they won. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Let's talk to Rico. What's up, Rico?
How you doing, Bank?
Hi, this is Rico
from the Mo. I just want to discuss, the superstition we have about wearing the same thing we did today for tomorrow.
Let's make this stink tomorrow.
I sharded in my shorts.
Oh, come on, Come on, man. Come on, Rico. You got to change that if you do that, man. I didn't say be ridiculous. Justin in Oklahoma City. What's up, Justin?
Hey, what's going on? Heck of a win. I was talking earlier, I was watching the game, and Cole Reagans, obviously, 8 strikeouts, man.
He was dealing today. You have yourself an ace. It's going to go down as one of the greatest trades in Royals history. I mean, come on, man. Yeah. 2 months of Chapman to deal for Reagans and getting back, and now you get your ace. Well done, Kansas City. Well done, J.J. Piccolo.
Oh, sorry. And also the way he outdueled Corbin Burns. I mean, Corbin Burns was Cy Young winner 2 years ago, and then relievers as far as Lucas Erceg, he was throwing heat out there. You know, Sam Long came in, got the job done. Then you had Chris Bubich. You know, so they protected the lead. It was a 1-0 game. And how about Bobby Witt, man? I mean, getting his first RBI in the postseason. Good things are happening, man. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I know everybody's pumped up, man, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see what we're like tomorrow. And if you can touch up on some Rashee Rice news,
that'd be awesome.
Thank you for taking my call.
All right, my friend. We'll definitely do that. But, yeah, one thing about Burns is he's given up 41 stolen bases this year. Like, that's the most by any pitcher. And again, I mean, you got to take advantage of that. They tried to do that. Bobby Witt, in my opinion, he was safe. They called him out. They didn't reverse. They didn't have really a good camera angle of it. But I saw the last angle, and he looked safe to me, and even the booth thought he looked safe as well. But Gurriel, he's what Vern had given the stat. That was he now 20 games over 500 being in the postseason year, Gurriel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane what he's doing. I mean, the kind of luck he brings, and Michael Garcia gets the 2 stolen bases. Just great stuff tonight for the Kansas City Royals. Take advantage when there's an advantage to be made, and that's what they could on stolen bases. Let's go to Ron and Lee Simmons. What's up, Ron?
Well, I'm really excited. This Kansas City Royals team has overachieved and played above expectation all year, and this was really tough. You talk about Corbin Burns being the American League Pitcher of the Year in September. He's really tough to beat. And especially to go into Baltimore and do that, I wouldn't say I'm surprised because the Kansas City Royals have the pitching to overcome just about anything, but it is a little bit shocking in a way for this team to just keep rising above. And so I'm looking forward to the rest of the way. Go Royals.
There you go. Go Royals. I mean, this team did believe in themselves. But look at the pitching. Look at the team defense. Look at everything about this team, the power, the way the bullpen frustrated you at the beginning. I know in Baltimore they blew a couple there at the beginning of the year. But this team, compared to the 2014 Royals that made that postseason run, remember that?
Yeah, this team's better.
It is.
It's better in like every metric.
Well, the bullpen, HH was incredible.
Obviously the bullpen is
absolutely
built different.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible that 2014, and it was tough to ever beat that. But let's face it. I mean, they didn't have a single guy. Alex Gordon actually led that team with home runs with 19.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the statistically with the Royals in 2014, and again, you look at kind of what led the Kansas City Royals in ribs that year. It was Alex Gordon was 74. And keep in mind, this team had two guys over 100. Would have been three if Vinny doesn't get hurt. I mean, unreal run. What this team has been doing. Power stolen bases. They had three guys over 30 stolen bases this year. 2014, they just had two over 30 stolen bases. This team's an unreal team. It's a fun team to watch, and it's built. They don't spend the money other teams do. They just don't do it. But they have to be smarter than everybody else. It's a lot like what goes on over at One Arrowhead Drive.
Yeah.
You just got to be smarter than the other teams. And the Royals, with JJ and the Chiefs, the Beach Man, things couldn't get better. Dan and KCK, what's up, Dan?
Hey, Bink, how you doing? I got home to finally see the final three outs, and everybody at Hen House saying they want the Yankees to take care of Baltimore. And then when we get to the Yankees, we'll take care of them. And I remember those playoff series when Chambliss hits the home run, then the Yankee fans stormed the field. And then 77 was really tough when it was Freddie Patek's birthday, and the Royals lost that game five, and I could see Freddie Patek in the dugout crying, you know. And I remember game five when Reggie Jackson was benched by Billy Martin because he couldn't hit Paul Spoelstra in 1978. I thought that if they hadn't traded John Mayberry, they wouldn't have beaten the Yankees that year. And then in 1980, they got two. So what do you think? Do you think John Mayberry didn't, on the 78 team, they would have beaten them?
You know what? I just hope it is the Yankees, because I do remember then. I remember they finally got over the hump in the Yankees in 1980. But yeah, I mean, this was the team in the American League, man, in the 70s, 80s. I mean, the Royals had some respect around the league. Then the 90s were lean, 2000s were lean in the beginning. 2013, you started to see this, you know, like all the prospects come up here. They went all the way to that final series against the White Sox, the last series of the year in 2013. Before they were officially eliminated, 2014, of course, they clinched in Chicago. So that was good to see. Bobby Witt Jr., text line says 816, now has more postseason wins than Mike Trout. Thanks for listening to the show, because I brought that up earlier. Let's go to Sandra in Phoenix. What's up, Sandra?
Hey, Bink. Long time no talk to.
What's going on, Sandra in Phoenix?
Miss you terribly. Wanted to say quickly, from months ago, I was so happy about your health news. And thanks for playing. Yeah, you. And thanks for playing the bumper of baseball with the Royals, because I haven't
heard that. That's Quentin. Quentin pulls that out, man. He's with me every Sunday morning, too. But Quentin's got the right song for the right time.
I appreciate that, because I hadn't heard that since morning after World Series when I've been up all night. And they played it first thing, and I burst into tears. And I got to agree with you on the Yankees thing and echo Dan. I was a little girl, but, man, that was my first heartbreak, seeing Freddie Patek crying in the dugout.
You grew up in this town hating the Yankees. It's just, I mean, really? I know things have changed clearly, but people my age and stuff remember when you grew up, the Yankees were a pain in the ass.
They were the enemy. Pine tar. Billy Martin. Boo.
Well, we got one more game to win against those O's.
That's my home screen. I was so happy you mentioned Jay Gutz, because that's my home screen this morning.
You know, I took that picture, man. I know other people did.
Man, you did not.
I did too. I took that picture, put it on Twitter that night, and then of course used in a bunch of different places. And other people had that picture too, but mine got some run on it back in 2014, and was used in different places. USA Today had it, but I had that picture in 2014.
Oh, and it was on my phone today. So you are responsible for this victory.
One of them. One of the pictures. I don't know which one, but it's a clear shot of the O's ain't loyal. So hate to do that to Jay Guts, man, but he was wearing on MLB Network. I mean, everybody was going to see it. It wasn't just me. And I feel bad because he actually came on our show. He used to come on our show weekly, Jay Guts, back then with me and Henry. And it was always a good time. As far as other scores in Major League Baseball, of course, the Red Hot Detroit Tigers, man, who did make the playoffs in 2014, as well as the Royals. The Royals didn't face them in 2014, but it's the last time that Detroit made it was when the same postseason the Royals were in. The Padres up now 3-0 on the Braves, bottom of the fourth. National League, those Mets. Let's get a Mets Royals World Series again. Let's do it. Let's just talk about things in advance, man. What the hell not? What's the matter? We Mets win 8-4 over the six beating the three again. The six seed beating the third seed. Anyway, we come back. I promise some wide receiver talk. We have to close the show at least. We've been 45 minutes on the Royals. Vern just went like an hour and a half talking Royals. We'll talk some Chiefs next. And welcome back. Final segment, Jay Binkley. Quentin Morris will be on tomorrow night after Vern. You can hear us Friday night. It'll be the Fans Football Show. We're at the 105th and Metcalf this week. Sean Barber will be out there with me. It's usually Mitch Schwartz or Sean Barber, one of the two. It'll be Sean Barber this week. So come out to Buffalo Wild Wings, 6-8. Friday night's always a good chance to meet. We always have a Chiefs ambassador coming to meet this as well. We've seen Dana Hughes out a couple of those times. We have a great time at those Buffalo Wild Wings events. We had been doing it on Thursday nights, but we're switching to Friday nights for the fall. So a couple, the Chiefs, because we won't find out officially about Rasheed Rice until Monday, right? And there's been all sorts of speculation from every doctor on Twitter about what is actually wrong with Rasheed Rice. If it's a torn ACL, they just would have told us. Here's the deal. We don't officially know. There could be other stuff there. We'll find out next week. Do they need to bring another receiver? Yes. Should they have drafted two receivers? Yes. You always hear me saying that. We sit here and do the Character Concerns podcast each and every week, Chris Sinocero and I, and we're breaking down the receivers and their matchups just like last year when we did Xavier Worthy each game. Because, yes, they still need wide receivers because you have to keep giving Patrick Mahomes fuel. And I know Davante Adams. This has got everybody talking. This has got everybody wanting Davante Adams. Well, the Chiefs right now are $4.9 million under the cap. Could they theoretically to do that? I know that Tyreek Hill has been popular. We'll get to him in a second. Davante Adams, here's the thing. I don't see how the Raiders would ever trade him within a division. I don't. Because I found it ridiculous when the Buffalo Bills, of all teams, are the reason you have Patrick Mahomes. They traded the 10th pick. And nobody from the picks they got from the Chiefs they picked up is still on that roster. I am shocked when the Chiefs manhandled them in the draft to draft Trent McDuffie. They moved up to get in front of Buffalo to get him when that's who they wanted. I was shocked when Buffalo traded him again so the Chiefs could get Xavier Worthy and they ended up drafting Keon Coleman. I'm still shocked about that. I'm shocked that the Baltimore Ravens helped the Chiefs in the left tackle situation when they needed one, and they got Orlando Brown. Clearly, Orlando Brown's not the best, but it's the best that was in the draft that year because there was nothing in the draft that year, so they had to get a veteran presence like Orlando Brown. They needed that, and he won a ring with the Kansas City Chiefs. But again, we've seen crazy things. Hey, the Raiders, if you gave them a pick, they'd run it. They've ruined every pick. It's just what they do. Would the Raiders be dumb enough to trade the Chiefs? I don't think so. You can never rule anything out, I've learned, with the Bills and Ravens building the Chiefs up to what they are. But that would be dumb as hell if the Raiders did a move with the Chiefs.
I feel so bad for Davante Adams because he had to deal with the debacle that was the Aaron Rodgers Packers for the last few years he was there. Then he wanted to go to the Raiders so he could play with his college best friend and Derek Carr. They played together for a year, and then
When they were together, they were killing it, Fresno State.
Yeah, and
he had 26 touchdowns his last year at Fresno with him.
And then the Raiders decided to make a move to hire a head coach that had already ruined an AFC West team, and they basically they cut Derek Carr with their backup plan being Jimmy Garoppolo, whose foot barely worked. And now Derek Carr is off in New Orleans looking decent. He looks fine.
And the first couple games looked great.
Right, but, you know, then he scored like 6 points.
Yeah.
Now you've got Davante Adams there, who is the only weapon on that offense, because over the years they've let, you know, Josh Jacobs go. They've got Gardner Minshew, who is probably the 34th best quarterback in the NFL right now, you know, is now his quarterback. I mean, I feel bad for Davante Adams, because it just seems like, you know, this is not how it was supposed to go in his mind. And he seems like a genuinely good person, because he didn't even like come out and directly say that I'm requesting a trade. He was kind of like, I'd prefer not to be here.
Well, I was wondering if this was one of the business decisions that Antonio Pierce was talking about, right?
Talk about a joke of a head coach.
This time, $16.8 million is due this season, all guaranteed, to Davante Adams. Now, he has 2 years remaining on his contract, $35 million due in 25, $36 due in 2026, but no guaranteed money. That's from NFL.com had that. So it depends whether the Raiders willing to pay to go away. They're a pretty cheap organization. We'll see. And as far as Tyreek Hill, what have I been warning people, Quentin, for the last couple months? Eventually, Tyreek Hill is going to melt down. I thought it was going to come last year because I had the Dolphins out of the playoffs. But I said eventually he's going to be throwing his helmet and mad because Jalen Waddle's getting all the catches. Now neither of them are. Because if Snoop Huntley throw them to him. But Tyreek Hill has been horrible the last three games. Even on fantasy, I'm sorry. The only time he went off was that first game. He had Tua. But anyway, I don't know. We'll talk about more of this tomorrow when things... Amari Cooper, actually $600,000 if he made that move. Would I see the Chiefs doing something that fits under the cap? 100%. For Quentin Morris, great job tonight, my friend. Royals win tonight over Baltimore. Their fifth straight win over the Orioles. See you later. Don't forget Fesco and Dusty tomorrow at 5:58.